Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
I want to go ahead today and, Lord willing, finish up this series on Psalm 46. We've been in here about 11 or 12 weeks, and today I want to finish it up unless the Lord has other plans. Most people know the scripture, "Be still and know that I am God." When you say that, most people say, "Oh yeah, I know that scripture." You see it on billboards, you see it in cards and so forth. But what most people don't know is this. The context of Psalm 46, the context of "Be still and know God" is in the middle of war and conquest and devastation. It's in the middle of groups of enemies coming at God's people in overwhelming odds, to where it looks like God's people are about to be slaughtered, about to be wiped out. It looks like a very difficult and impossible situation. And in the midst of that, these words that most people are familiar with, "Be still and know that I'm God," are there. It was written in a time when Israel was being invaded by three foreign armies, much larger, much stronger than them. And when you look at the psalm, you can divide it up. There's only 11 verses. You can divide it up into three parts. And each part ends with the word Selah, which means, now stop and think about that. It's not meant to be read quickly. You can read the 11 verses in under a minute, probably. But it's meant to be meditated on. It's meant to be, take time and think about this. It's meant to consider, to take time and ponder. And it's broken down in this three particular parts. The first part focuses on God's person, who He is. And that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, because that's true, because of God's person, we won't have fear in our life. We refuse to fear. Though everything in the world comes against us, we absolutely refuse to fear because God is greater than what we're facing. See, that's where we're supposed to be. The second part of the psalm is broken down in verses 4 through 7 about God's presence. It reminds God's people that there's a river that flows from God's throne. It's invisible. It's supernatural. And this river flows down into the earth, and it becomes streams. And people who receive Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit, have this river, this water inside them. Jesus prophesied that. And He said, these streams make glad the city of God, because these streams spread out through all the earth, bringing the knowledge of Jesus Christ, bringing the message of God, accomplishing the purposes of God. So the second part is not only about God's person, but it's also about God's presence. But the third part that we're going to focus on today, the final part, focuses on God's plan. You know, God has a vision. He has a plan in mind. He has a reason for every person being alive. He has a reason for every church being in existence. He has a reason and a purpose and a vision why we are here today. And this plan that God reveals is spoken mysteriously with these words, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen." The heathen is a word for people who don't know God. Lost people. God is saying, not I hope to be, not I wish that I would be, not that I think one day that might happen, but God is saying confidently, in this world, His plan is this, and it will happen. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. Oh, it's going to happen. This is God's plan. And see, when we begin to understand what God is up to, we begin to see His plan, that the Almighty has a plan. The Almighty has a vision. Something big is going on in the earth right now. It always has been. Something awesome is going on. But to see what God is doing, ladies and gentlemen, we have to get beyond our noses. We have to get beyond our lives. We have to get beyond our situations. We have to get beyond even our church and our plan and our program. We have to get beyond our country. Because God's vision is very much this, to embrace the whole world with the knowledge of Him, the true knowledge of Him. And listen, don't mistake, as much as you are cherished, as much as you are loved by God Almighty, you're not the big picture. Neither am I. The big picture is God, and for everybody to see Him, because He says, I will be exalted. That's the plan. So we need to understand that. And may we as a church understand, may our focus, may our agenda, may our plans, may our vision be to live for what Jesus died for, to make God known in all the earth, to show His love. People need to know who I am. Is. They need to know the great I am. God is behind some of the scenes and some of the things that are happening in your life, and you may not even know it. Sometimes God allows things to happen that He could have stopped, but He allowed it to happen. And we have to come to a place where we don't demand from God to explain to us why. We have to come to a place where we just worship. We praise. We bow down. And we be still. Because He's God Almighty. He doesn't explain to us all the things that He's doing in the earth. One time in particular, in this particular setting in Psalm 46... Israel was led by King Jehoshaphat, and there were three huge countries or armies, foreign armies, coming to invade Israel at the same time. King Jehoshaphat hears of this. He gets a message of this, that there's a group of people coming to wipe you out, to destroy you. And he says, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And here, I want to read to you without putting it up on the screen from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, some highlighted portions about this. Here is the story. Here is the setting behind why Psalm 46 was written. So a large multitude is coming against you, King Jehoshaphat, from across the Dead Sea. Then Jehoshaphat was fearful. Everybody say fearful. And he set himself to seek the Lord. And he called for a fast from everybody. And all of Judah assembled to seek the Lord. And here's his prayer. Jehoshaphat led out in prayer. And he says, O Lord God, You're the God of the heavens and the earth. You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. If disaster comes upon us, a sword or judgment or famine, we come and we stand before Your temple today, before You, and we cry out in Your name in our distress, and we believe that You hear us and You will deliver us. And then he goes on to say, because we don't have strength enough to stand before this great army that's coming against us. Now here, listen to this. And we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You. And this happens to be 2 Chronicles 20:20, 2020 vision. And he's saying, we don't know what to do, but our eyes, come on, are on You. Get your eyes off the circumstances and on the great and powerful Almighty God. Our eyes are on You. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You. And then here's what happened. In the midst of the assembly, The Spirit of the Lord came upon a man called Jahaziel, and he started prophesying. And he said basically this. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. For this great battle army that's coming against you, don't be afraid of them. Because the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's." Boy, that comes a time when you better be able to know you can trust a prophet. I hope he has credibility. And then he says, and the Lord says, "Now tomorrow go down against them, and it won't be necessary for you to fight in this conflict. Take your positions and stand. Observe the deliverance of the Lord for you. Do not fear or be filled with terror. Tomorrow, go down before them. The Lord will be with you." Say, "The Lord will be with you." And then Jehoshaphat bowed his face to the ground, and all of Israel with him, and they worshiped God. They believed they'd heard a word from God. They believed God gave them directives. They didn't know how everything was going to turn out, other than the fact that God said, "Don't go down there to fight." And then Jehoshaphat, the king, got up and he said, "Now listen to me, everybody. Believe in the Lord and you'll prosper, and believe in his prophets and you'll succeed. This is a word from God." And then they appointed singers and a praise team. They got the choir out of the temple. And they said, "Now you go before those who are dressed up in battle. They're soldiers. That's what they do. They're dressed up in battle. But you guys are going to go out in front of them, facing an army that is determined to slaughter you. And you're going to go out and you're going to praise God with these words, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever.'" And then here's this, look on the screen. When they began singing and praising the Lord set ambushes up. You need to put that on the screen for me, PowerPoint. When they began to sing and praise the Lord, they set ambushes up for them. Very interesting. Each man of the foreign army attacked his companion to destroy the other one. And here's what Judah did. They watched from a distance and they saw the foreign army attacking one another. Wow. And they stood still as the Lord sent confusion into the enemy's camp. And what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around and used it for their good. Are you with me? And after all this slaughter is over with, they haven't lifted a spear. They haven't shot an arrow. They haven't thrown a rock. They're just standing there going, "Whoa." And then, here's where we get the context of the third part of Psalm 46. Notice what it says. You imagine they came up over the hill. They looked down into the valley and they saw soldiers slaughtered. They saw thousands of bodies all laying dead on the ground. And then they probably would have said these words from Psalm 46. "Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. And he breaketh the bow, and he cutteth the spear asunder, and he burneth the chariots in fire." Imagine they come up on the ridge and they see all this slaughter. "Come, behold the works of the Lord." And that word "behold" means come and see me in the situation. God is saying, "Look, I'm in this. Look, look and see what I'm doing." Are you listening? And they would say, What did you guys do later on? And, you know, when they would hear the story of this, and they said, well, what did you guys do? And they said, all we did was worship. All we did was praise. All we did was bow down. All we did was stay still. The valley is called the Valley of Baraka, or the Valley of Blessing. And they looked out on the Valley of Blessing and saw nothing but a bunch of dead bodies. Their enemies, those that came against them, those that opposed them, those that were determined to wipe them out. All they saw was a bunch of dead bodies. When I look at this psalm, and I understand now the context of it, that why it was written by sons of Korah, musicians, to celebrate this awesome victory in 2 Chronicles. I see that God has, he liked this story, and he created this thing to happen, this event to happen. He even caused Israel's enemies to rise up against them so they would experience a victory that they wouldn't have experienced had they not been challenged. How God uses all things together to work together for good. The three things I see particularly in this particular psalm. I first of all see that God recorded this in our Bible, and we're talking about it today, thousands of years later, because God is calling us to something. He wants us to see something that we just don't see in the natural. He's calling us to behold Him. That He's bigger than what we thought He was. He's greater than we think He is. And just because you don't see Him doesn't mean He's not here. Just because you don't feel Him doesn't mean He's not here. Just because you don't see any manifestation, God is calling us to behold Him even in His hiddenness, even when He's unseen. He wants us to declare a victory in our circumstances, a victory in our life before we see any victory. He wants us to believe in an invisible God as present with us, the one who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He wants us to believe that Jesus has won the victory for us before we see anything happen. It's a call to behold. It's a call to behold. You're called to be a peculiar and a strange people in the earth. You're called to declare victory in advance of seeing any victory. And let me tell you, this is not the first time this happened in the Bible. Oh, no. Remember that Jericho and how the strange way God said, now you're going to walk around that thing for that building for those walls for 7 days. And then the seventh day you'll blow the trumpets and the wall's going to come down. I mean, this is not the first time God's told His people to do some strange things. God is always calling us to do what seems to be strange to us. So we will behold Him, that He's greater than we think He is. He's more present than we realize He is. Sometimes He calls you to shout when there's no reason to shout. Sometimes He calls you to just be still and wait when you don't see anything changing. And here He whispered to Israel through the prophet. He said, you don't have to fight. I got this. This is my battle. I've arranged this. I don't want you to be afraid. I'm calling you to behold me because there are things about me you don't know yet and you need to experience. There are things about me I want to reveal to you. I'm not asking you to strive. I'm not asking you to pull down things. I'm asking you to make room for me to act in your life. So here, what I want you to do is be still. But Lord, did you not see that there's three armies out there coming at us? I actually arranged it. I mean, you want them to attack us? Yeah. Because you see, those three countries were actually three countries that when Israel came out of Egypt, you know, out of the Exodus, and they came through the land, and God told them to go through the promised land and wipe everybody out and this and that. God did not allow them to wipe out these three countries. He said, no, no, don't attack them. And he didn't tell them why. Well, the reason was he had plans for them later. Maybe God hadn't taken care of your enemy just yet. Don't worry about it. He'll use it for your good. And so later on, God arranged for those enemies to rise up and attack Israel. And God said, don't worry about it. It's not about you. It's about me. I want you to behold me. What if every day of your life, God was cleverly designing something to show you another glimpse of His glory that you haven't seen yet? What about if every situation in your life that God is actually hidden in it some way, waiting for you to discover Him, waiting for you to behold? What about if in His wisdom He's allowed some things to happen in your life that seem like trouble? He could have easily prevented it, but He purposely allowed it because He wants you to discover something of Him in the whole process. Would that change your attitude if you had that inside information? Would it change your attitude when trouble happens, when bad things seem to happen, when unexpected things break down? Or would it change your attitude if you already knew in advance that God is hidden somehow in this trouble and He's going to reveal something of Himself to you through it that you don't know yet, that you need to know? Would it change your attitude about three people? Well, you just got inside information. God is hidden in everything that goes on in your life. Everything. Not that He's the cause of bad things, but He's hidden. And if He allowed something to happen, He can manifest Himself to you. The calling is the call to behold Him. I love Jesus. I love the story of Jesus. One time Jesus, He said to His disciples, He said, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Don't carry a purse. Don't take any money. Don't take any extra clothes. I'm sending you out among the wolves. Now, if I'd have been there, I'd say, well, hold on, Jesus. Aren't you going to go with us? He said, no, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. I believe He said it with a wink in His eye. Yeah, I'm sending you out. Why did He do that? They needed to experience something of God they have yet to experience. They needed to know He was their defender. They needed to know He was their provider. They needed to know that He was their protector. They needed to know that He would shepherd them. They needed to know that He would empower them. Are you with me? I mean, this is the Lord working through the disciples. And they had to grow. They had to learn, just like you and I have to go through stuff. And we go through stuff to behold God. What's the purpose of life? To behold God and see that He's greater than we think He is. He's more involved in our lives than we realize that He is. And fortunately, later on, I think they started to realize, yeah, Jesus sent them out as sheep among wolves, but their best friend is a lion. And he eats wolves for lunch. Ain't no problem. It ain't no problem at all, none whatsoever. So when trouble comes to our lives, our question should never be, why, God? Scratch that off your vocabulary. But the question should be, Lord, what do you want to be for me in this situation? What do you want me to behold in this situation of you that I have not learned yet? Are you with me? The call to behold the Lord, because He's present with us all the time. The second part of this psalm is broken down into three parts, is a call to believe. Just believe. Just believe what God has said. Scripture says, be still and know that I'm God. He was calling his people to trust him, to believe what he says. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And then he says this phrase that's in there twice. The Lord of hosts is with us. We're saying that. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob. If I was writing it, I wouldn't want to put in Jacob, but now I understand why. Jacob was not faithful, but God is saying, but I'm faithful. Jacob didn't do everything right. Jacob tried to manipulate things, tried to promote himself, tried to put himself in positions of favor and all that, and tried to manipulate and all that kind of stuff through his deceitfulness. He was a backslider. And here God is saying, the God who helped Jacob, who deserved nothing from God, is our refuge. Hallelujah. If that's not grace, I don't know what is. And then we learn some things about God. This ought to be Christianity 101 when you come to the Lord. You need to be taught. God moves in two ways. He moves in hiddenness and manifestation. He moves in ways, sometimes we can see him, sometimes we can feel him. I mean, sometimes you can feel the presence of the Lord. And then there are times where you don't feel anything. But he's just as present then as he is when you feel him. And a new Christian, you may not know that, but God moves in two ways. And most of the time, he moves in hiddenness. Most of the time, we don't see. But he's present. When Israel was about to be attacked, God was hidden. I mean, if God would have shown up in his glory or shown up with one angel or whatever, then they probably wouldn't even pray. They said, well, God's got this. Let's just go on about our business. But God was hidden, but he was present. He was there. Spiritual warriors do not react to a situation. They don't react. They go to their place of refuge. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. See, spiritual warriors don't react to the devil's little punching you and trying to attack you and do things. No, spiritual warriors don't react. They respond and go right directly to God. Lord, what do you want to show me about this? How do you want to manifest yourself to me through this? What do you want to be to me in this particular situation? That's what Jehoshaphat did. That's why this is written in the Bible today, so we can read it. We can learn from it. Jehoshaphat, the king, led all of Israel to come together to pray and fast. And they laid everything out before God. God, I mean, like God didn't know, but he already knew. But that's sometimes in prayer, it's good to cast your cares on God. And they just laid everything out. God, you know this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. And then they said these famous words. They said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Are you there today? There's probably somebody there today. Say, you know, I don't know what to do about this situation. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to reconcile that. I don't know how to take the next step. But my eyes are on you, God. Well, you're in a good place. Just because you breathe that prayer to God. You're looking to him. And so they waited, and God spoke. If you'll wait on God, God will speak. If you'll trust in God, God will direct you. He'll never fail. He's faithful to give you directions, to tell you what to do, to show you what to do, to help you in all your situations, if you'll trust him, if you'll wait on him. Are you with me? Don't be so quiet then. Speak up. Now, so, you won't have to fight, he says. Be still. And so they put out this, they sent out the praise team, as I already said, And I love this part, and it's very important we grab this because this is what we're supposed to do. It says when they put the praise team out there, the choir team out there, it says when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against their enemies. When did God set ambushes? I told you, if you don't make me come down there. Y'all speak up. When they began singing, when they began praising, that's how they got their eyes on God that you can't see. Begin praising, begin thanking, begin singing, begin that you're declaring through your singing and your praising, the Lord's here, God is with me here. Joy is in this place. Praise is in this place. God is here. And so when they began singing, when they began praising, that's when the enemy was undone. That's when God said, now I can go to work. Now I can go to work. Now watch me. Now watch what I do. Praise exalts God. Praise puts God up first. Praise honors the Lord first. Worship and praise brings God to the forefront of every matter. And when they began to do this, that's when the Lord set up ambushes and said, now watch this. Watch me mess them up. And then not only a call to behold God, we have a call to believe God is with us. But then we have this call that needs to be manifested in some way. We say, I believe, God, you're with me. I believe God is all omnipresent. I believe God is omniscient, omnipotent. Omnipresent means he's everywhere present at the same time. I believe that. We say we believe that. And so then God says, okay, there's going to be a time in your life where I'm going to say, be still. Don't react to the devil. Don't respond to his taunts to you. Be still and know that I'm God. I'm with you. I know what's going on. He wants to be your defender. Be still in the face of fury. Be still. I can't tell you how important this verse is to me personally. It has been a life verse for many years, as well as several others. But God is teaching me. I can't say that I've learned. I'm learning. There's always more to learn. And Psalm 46, church, listen, is vital to our spiritual development, especially in learning warfare. Instead of running ahead, instead of doing what we think is the best thing to do, instead of jumping and snapping back when people say things to you, or I'm learning like you. Be still. Be still. Because without stillness, you won't hear God. In your activity, it's hard to hear God. You need to be still and come to know by experience God is with you. He knows what's going on. He knows what people are saying about you. He knows what people are doing against you. He knows the illnesses that you're facing. He knows the fears that you have. He knows the concerns you have. He wants you to know him. And not to move unless he says move. Not to make a move. Not to do anything unless you hear from him. Remember, Elijah the prophet was in the cave because he got afraid of Jezebel, and he was running because she said, I'm going to kill you. And so he runs as hard as he can, and he hides in this cave, and he's there. Oh God, please take my life. Please take my life. Please take my life. I'm done with this. I'm burned out. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of all this. I don't want to do anymore. I've done enough for you, and now you're not protecting me. And yeah. It's almost like God would say, would you hurry up and run out of breath? And probably when he finally did run out of breath, After the earthquake and after the fire and all the drama that was going on, and he realized God was not in any of that. He heard God in what? Come on. Still, small voice. Still comes first. You have to be still. And he heard the voice of God. And it's interesting that this word still in the Hebrew is a derivative of the word that means to be stunned. Mean to be awed. Astonished. At the small voice of God. God is here. He doesn't have to have a great manifestation. It wasn't in the fire. It wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the whirlwind. After all of that, I'm here. And he was stunned. Astonished that he heard the voice of God. It was in stillness. And here in the same place when Jehoshaphat and his army were facing three huge armies determined to slaughter them, God tells them, my method, my strategy, my step for you is to do this without understanding, without questioning, without wondering how it's all going to turn out. I just want you to be still. Because I'm here. I'm with you. Believe that. A call to be behold. A call to believe. Church, that's what you're called to. You're called to behold God. You're called to believe God. There's a scripture over in 1 Peter. It talks about women, and it says, it's not a scripture saying you can't have jewelry or anything like that. It's saying, women, I know you like jewelry, the Lord's saying through scripture. I know you like jewelry and all that, and jewelry's okay, but don't adorn yourself outwardly with just all this jewelry to make yourself attractive. What really will make you attractive is a quiet and meek spirit. One that's trusting in God. One that's resting in God. That is what makes you attractive. And it makes you attractive to God when you have that quiet, trusting, confident spirit that God is with me. God is with me. God says that makes you beautiful. That makes you beautiful. Another of my life verses is Isaiah 30, verse 15. And it's in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. In quietness, in confidence. The confidence that God is with you. God knows what's going on. You don't have to know everything that's going on. But this is one of my life verses. To learn this, to live like this. This is the way Jesus lived. This is the way we're called to live. We're called to behold God is with us. We're called to believe God is with us, whether we see Him or not. We're called to believe that. And listen, most of the church doesn't believe that. No, you don't. I'm not saying you. Most of the church does not believe that. While I was preparing this message, I'm sitting at my desk and writing this out and everything, and all of a sudden my phone rings. And I pick it up and I say, hello. And I hear a person talking. And I said, hello. And I could tell it was, you know, one of those phone calls where you have your phone in your pocket or something. I guess they butt dialed or whatever you want to call that, me, you know. And I said, hello. And I was trying to shout so they could hear me. Hey, you got your phone turned on? Hey. And they couldn't hear me. And so there's this conversation going. So I just listened for a moment. And it was a couple of guys. And they're talking. And they're talking about God. And they're talking about their belief in God. Well, I believe God does this, and here's my opinion of this, and this, I think God's this way, and I think God's that way. And I just listened and listened and listened, and then I prayed for them. I said, Lord, help them to know you're right there. You're right there. Now, there was a part of me that when I hung up, I thought, I'm going to call them back. I'm going to block my number. And I'm going to say, they're going to pick up. And I'm going to say, this is the Lord. I heard every word you're talking about. You act like I'm not there. I'm right there with you. I didn't do that, but I wanted to. But that's the point. I'm telling you, I'm not blaming, I'm condemning these fellas. They were talking about the Lord, and the Lord had me, for some reason, had me, pick up this phone while I'm preparing this message. And I realized most people are just not aware of God's presence. They say they believe, oh, I know God's omnipresent. But then we talk like he's not, because we slander one another as if God's not there. Or we talk about things we shouldn't talk about, as if God's not there. Did God leave the room? Is he only here in this building? A lot of people do believe that. The proof is in the life. Are you with me? The Lord said, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Look at that. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that God is with you, whether you sense him or not, whether you see him or not, whether you feel him or not? God is trying to teach us to walk by faith in his word, not by our feelings. Sometimes God purposely withdraws from our emotions, and we go through a time where we don't feel God. We read the Bible and we just don't feel the presence. We worship and it's just kind of perfunctory. It's kind of mechanical. We do it, but yet it's just, we don't feel God like we long to feel him. And I'm all for those times when you feel God. I love those moments. It's often rare where I feel God's presence or I have a manifestation in some way that just blows me away. I love that when that happens. But I have to also love the hiddenness of God as well. You see, when you experience a manifestation of God in your life, maybe God made himself real to you in a dream, or maybe you got touched and fell out in the spirit. Maybe you got goosebumps all over your body. Whatever it is, God does those things sometimes. There's no doubt about it, but you shouldn't be looking for them. If it happens, just count it a blessing. Manifestation is a time of blessing, but hiddenness is a time of building. Next slide. When you don't see God or don't feel God, God is weaning you from your emotions. Don't trust in your emotions. Don't trust in your feelings. Trust what God said. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is just as much present with you when you feel him, when you have this incredible encounter, when you fall out in the spirit, when you experience some wonderful, tangible thing. He's just as much present with you then as when you don't feel anything. And there's some people here who've never felt anything from God. Doesn't mean anything's wrong with them. That's just the way they're wired. Maybe they don't need that. They just believe God. Thank you, Lord. That's fine. God decides who gets those experiences and who doesn't. Hiddenness is God trying to take you deeper. He's trying to take you deeper. He's trying to take you deeper. Two times the scripture says here in Psalm 46, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, Selah that. Think of that. The Lord of hosts is the Lord of all the universe. The Lord has created everything there is to create. The Lord of hosts is with us. He's actually with us. And right now, if God would allow some tangible manifestation of what I just said, like a cloud of glory or something come in this room, or gold fall from the ceiling, or whatever he decided to do, you guys would be jumping and shouting and basking in it. And oh, that's wonderful. It's glorious. It's great. And you should. And that's wonderful. But he's just as much present as he is right now as he would be if that happened. The Lord of hosts is with us. At a time when this was being spoken, it didn't look like God was with them. It looked like they were about to be slaughtered by their enemies. There are going to be times in your life that you're going to have to ask yourself a hard question. And the hard question is going to be this: do I really believe what I say I know? Do I really believe God is with me all the time? Or do I have to work up His presence or go to His presence? No, He's with you. It's not really proper to ask God to come. He's already here. That'd be like me being in your presence, say, hey, would you come over here? Would you come to me? Would you come to me? And you say, I'm already here. What do you want? We don't pray for God to come. He's here. He's here. I said, He's here, church. He's here. He's here. See, our lives are here for one purpose: to showcase the fact that God is with us. We are a people born of God's Spirit. We are carriers of His presence. But yet we act like sometimes God's not present. Movies on television. Have you ever noticed you see a suspense movie or mystery movie or something? Someone gets kidnapped or something bad happens to somebody, and maybe they're kidnapped or something, locked up in a room, and they're frightened and they're afraid. And in this movie, you know, somebody maybe rescue them, maybe they don't. But no one's praying to God. That's not realistic. That's not realistic. Where are the movies where people start to say, oh God, help me, get me out of this situation. Oh Lord, help somebody to find me. Oh God, save me. But you don't see that often in a movie, do you? It's as if the media wants to paint a picture for us that this is life without God. Don't bother praying because there is no God. In all situations of life, God is teaching us to live with Him by rejoicing in Him. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Not that everything is good that happens to you, but in everything give thanks, because God's with you. God's with you. And trusting Him, not to be worried, not to be afraid of anything. God is trying to take us deeper, so that the people of God will come to a time in their life where they'll banish all fear. No fear. Forever. And they'll learn to live in the love of God. You say, well, that's just not realistic. Well, you don't know God. That's what He's called you to. That's what He's calling us to. So when situations are overwhelming us, we need to upgrade our view of God. He's bigger than what we think He is. He's better than what we think He is. He's present with us all the time. You don't have to ask Him to come and be with you. He's already with you. And if we see God as He is, then we'll start to be overwhelmed by His presence, and we'll start to worship, and we'll be in awe, and we'll be in wonder, and we'll get lost in praising Him and blessing Him and thanking Him. And as we begin to praise, as we begin to worship, He'll set an ambush against your enemy. And you'll go, wow. We've got to learn the lessons of learning how to abide, how to be still, how to remain faithful, how to be consciously aware of God all the time. He's with you. This is going to require a change of thinking. You can't think like you do now and continue to live that way and experience God like He wants you to experience it. We're going to have problems in this world, no doubt about it. And when we have problems, we kind of put a frame around the problem with our way of thinking. We have problem framing. And so when we frame a problem, we're only seeing the negative. You see it the way you've always seen it. Well, we've had to do this, now we'll have to do this again. And you become a victim that way. And so we have to do what I would call reframe. Everybody say the word reframe. That means look at life with Jesus with wisdom. Look at your situation, ask God for wisdom, look at it with Jesus. Now, Jesus, you see this situation, you know what's going on, and then we turn it into prophetic framing. Instead of problem framing, it's prophetic framing. Now, God, you're with me. I see you're with me. I know you're with me. And so I stay a victor. I don't become a victim. I don't go into the negative. And I just ask God, now, Lord, how do you want to be exalted in this situation? What's my next step? Are you paying attention? I believe that one of Satan's greatest traps is to get us involved in so many activities, even good things, that we don't have time to be still with God. I hear people often say, and they claim to be Christians, I say, do you have a time alone with God? Do you spend time with God? Do you spend time in worship on your own? And many will say, I work too much. And many people, when I invite them to church, they say, well, I work 7 days a week. I say, you know, God never intended for you to work 7 days a week. You won't live long that way. He intended for you to give that one day to Him, the Lord's day. And if you'll give Him that one day of the week, He'll help you with the rest of your work and you'll see it. I don't think most really believe that, but that's the fact. You know, they just have enough time. Well, I'm raising my kids, I'm going to work, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and doing that. And they're so busy, they don't have time for God. They don't have time for their Creator. And what most of the world is doing, ladies and gentlemen, is this. They're running off adrenaline. They're running off of adrenaline. And they'll take things. They'll take drugs. They'll take more caffeine or caffeine, whatever you got to do, so you can keep the adrenaline going, because you got to keep going, man. You ain't got time to stop. You can't be afford to be down. You've got to work. You've got to go. You've got to be busy. And after a while, you'll crash and you'll burn. Every adrenaline high has an adrenaline low. God made us to where we're made to meditate upon Him. We're made, we're created, we're designed to set time aside, to think deeply about it. And you may have to just start with 15 minutes. That's fine. It's better to start than not do anything. But let me warn you, sometimes God may have to force you to stop. God may have to force you to slow down. Psalm 23, He maketh me lie down. You don't want that to have to happen. God's talking to us today. Can you hear His whisper? There's a song that maybe we'll sing next week. I hope that you'll get it to hear it and understand it. There's a portion of the chorus that goes like this. Hallelujah, great defender. So much better this way. Hallelujah, you have saved me. So much better your way. Life is so much better God's way. A call to behold. God is our refuge and our strength. Very present help in trouble. A call to believe. With corresponding action, that means be still. Know that I'm God. I will be exalted. And a call to become. Become like Jesus. Become what God has created you to do. To showcase Him. It's not about you. It's about exalting Him. It's about making Him known. He has a plan. He's doing something in the earth right now. We're to be part of that plan. And it all begins in the same place. Jesus said in the last book of the Bible, it says, He said, "Behold, I stand at the door. I'm knocking on your heart. I'm knocking. Will you let me come into your life?" A lot of people say, "Not now, Jesus. I like you. I believe in you, but I'm too busy right now. I'll have time for you after I get this stuff taken care of. After I raise the kids. After I get this mess taken care of, then I'll have time for you. I promise." But the problem is, the longer you put off that knock, you don't hear it like you first did. You won't even recognize it. Because you're so busy, you can't even hear. Call to behold. Find God. He's hidden in your life. He's hidden in your troubles right now. He's hidden in your life. He's hidden in those things right now that are going on in your life. He's hidden. Find Him. Behold Him. Believe Him. Don't panic in trouble. Don't panic. That's a sign you don't believe. Be still and know for a fact God's with you. And then call to become. The world is waiting to see a manifestation of the true sons and daughters of God. The world, don't you hear it all the time? They want to know, where are the real Christians? Not people who just play church on Sunday. Where are the real people? The world is waiting for a manifestation of the true sons and daughters of God. People who believe. That's what God's calling you to be. Would you stand to your feet right now? Altar workers, would you come on up and be in place and be ready to minister? The world is waiting to see the sons of God. Question, will it be you? Will it be me? It will be if you surrender your life to the Lord. If you say, "Yes, Lord, I want your will for my life more than I want my will for my life. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." Bow your heads with me, please. Now, in some way, the Holy Spirit has spoken through me to you about something. Before you leave this building, the enemy is going to try to distract you and steal that word, that insight, that revelation, that thought that God gave you. And your life is busy. And you'll be quick to forget unless you act upon what God's revealed to you, what God said to you. And if you're here today, I know God has spoken and said something to you, or He showed you something. He revealed to you a change that has to happen right now. He might have revealed something that's got to start right now. Not necessarily you have to stop something, but you have to start something. And you got to do it today. It may reveal to somebody you need to go to and make things right with, and you need to do it now. You don't need to put that off any longer. I don't know what God has said to you, but I know He's spoken. Because I know He's with me, and I know He speaks through me, and I know He speaks to you because He loves you. So whatever that is, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank You for the word that has gone forth. As rain comes down out of heaven and comes down into the earth and waters the seed, Holy Spirit, thank You that You're drawing people to Yourself right now. Thank You, Lord. I believe that, and I ask that in a very special way that You help Your people to respond to the drawing of the Holy Spirit at this moment. Come to your altar and talk to you about what You've said to them. And I leave the matter with you in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Would you respond? However God has spoken, if you need to talk to a counselor, these wonderful people are here to minister to you and pray with you. But if you don't need to talk to any one of them, that's fine. Just go up to the altar and spend a few moments talking to God about what you've just heard. It's called Selah. Selah. Amen. God bless you.